Fullerton Investment Views, Quarterly Report, Q3, 2024. From 3G to the 3Is, Transitioning to Innovation-Led Gains. Executive Summary. We remain bullish on global risk assets, namely developed market, DM equities, and positive on Asia equities and fixed income. For the 12 months ahead, we expect positive returns from both Asia equities and fixed income, with the strongest returns from DM equities. U.S. GDP growth may be slowing and unemployment rising, but earnings growth expectations are still very strong, which underpins our bullish outlook. In addition, liquidity conditions remain supportive, and Fed rate cuts are likely to give an extra boost to risk asset performance over 2025. Japan equities should continue to benefit from robust earnings growth, which reflects favorable productivity gains and competitiveness. Across Europe, it is lagging DM, but its earnings should gradually improve with stronger external demand, led by the U.S., and falling cost pressures. Within Asia, key regional economies can also benefit from stronger DM demand. Rising earnings growth expectations, especially across South Korea, India, Taiwan, and Singapore, underpins our positive outlook. As China's earnings growth expectations appear to be bottoming, along with its cyclical deflation stress, we have shifted to a positive outlook. Despite longer-term involution headwinds, positive investment opportunities can be found across value stocks, materials, and consumer discretionary. As the global economy is expected to achieve its soft landing, corporate credit investors, especially across DM, should enjoy reasonable returns. We remain positive on global sovereign bonds as real yields are attractive enough to generate favorable income streams, while providing some cushion if growth unexpectedly slumps. Section 1. Risk Asset Outlook. Fullerton believes that the robust trends in investment returns over H1 24 can continue into 2025. We have a new thematic, Investing Under the 3Is, i.e. Industry 5.0, Innovation and Involution, that complements our 3G forces. Industry 5.0 is the AI new technology metaverse-driven global theme that we believe will create better products and new spending, with an additional boost to productivity and profitability across many sectors over time. Innovation is a trend that has been unfolding for years, especially across the US, Japan, and Germany, which is driving greater productivity, lowering costs, and boosting earnings. Involution reflects China's longer-term headwinds as it searches for policy solutions to end weakness across the real estate sector, resolve economic-wide deflation, and boost corporate performance. Industry 5.0 and innovation, driving DM's favorable economic environment, underpins our bullish outlook on DM equity returns. Adding China's involution to the mix, the 3Is are contributing to the great decoupling where DM equities continue to outperform Asia. Commodity prices remain buoyant as geopolitical uncertainties persist. Industrial metal prices are still high, but have corrected back from their unsustainable cyclical surge, driven by copper and aluminum prices. Beyond improving DM demand, industrial metal prices should also remain supported by pockets of strength across China's industrial firms, which has also helped push equity prices for its materials sector higher. Oil and especially gold prices continue to be supported by elevated geopolitical risks and uncertainties. Gold prices have also been boosted by strong demand from global central banks as they increase their reserve asset allocations to more prudent levels. We maintain our view that gold is a useful asset for investors to hold in their portfolio as it can give some downside protection against adverse geopolitical shocks. Elections this year, notably in the U.S., may add to investor uncertainties, but outcomes should not derail the favorable fundamentals for risk asset returns, especially for U.S. equities. As we emphasized in our Q1 investment views, this year there are several key elections around the world, and investors will need to remain watchful if outcomes, especially in the U.S., increase the likelihood of tighter protectionist policies. Any significant tariff increases may simply accelerate the trade and decoupling shifts unfolding already. For example, the U.S. trade deficit is already at record lows with China, and decade lows with Europe, as a percent of GDP. U.S. policy shifts toward more intense protectionism or driving geopolitical spillovers could prove positive for U.S. stocks. especially those with domestic-centric supply chains and revenues, and negative for foreign equities, especially for firms that rely on U.S. demand. Global investors' expectations seem split on how the election of President Trump could impact the investment environment. For example, surveys of reserve managers, central banks, and real money investors, i.e., the UBS Annual Reserve Manager Survey, July 2024, have suggested that a U.S. Republican victory may be positive for U.S. equities and bonds, i.e., lower yields. Global surveys of investors, i.e., the Bank of America Global Fund Manager Survey, as of 16 July 2024, also revealed expectations that a U.S. Republican victory could be positive for U.S. equities, but negative for bonds, i.e., higher yields. Almost by definition, Republicans cannot be too inflationary for the U.S. economy because that would push yields too high and become unambiguously negative for U.S. equities, which is against the most common expectation. The historical record suggests that Republicans tend to pursue legislation that favors U.S. business, lowers taxes, i.e., easier fiscal policy, but also cuts social supports, i.e., tighter fiscal policy. Democrats have some bias toward more spending, i.e., easier fiscal policy, but favor higher taxes, i.e., tighter fiscal policy, for funding. Not surprisingly, then, most of the time after a U.S. election, there always tends to be some offsetting forces with new government policies. As a result, on average over the cycle, U.S. nominal GDP growth and inflation can hold trend, and fiscal policy is neutral, i.e., a zero fiscal impulse. While there is no sustained bias across Democrats or Republicans for net spending creating inflationary pressures, significant fiscal challenges will eventually hit the U.S., which will require bold austerity actions around 2030. We maintain our bullish outlook for global risk assets, dominated by DM equities. Even if U.S. GDP growth slows and unemployment rises, we maintain our conviction that earnings growth can remain strong, driven by robust productivity growth and low real unit labor costs. In addition, broad financial conditions are supportive to U.S. equity returns and may get an added boost over 2025 from Fed rate cuts. Across U.S. households, financial wealth is very high, and this can continue to drive consumption spending. For the U.S. corporate sector, investment growth is solid, and this can reinforce productivity gains in tandem with new developments over time from IT metaverse-related technologies. DM equity returns should also remain supported by Japan's performance, given its robust productivity growth, second only to the U.S., and its very competitive real exchange rate. Contributions to DM equity performance from Europe can also be positive as earnings growth should recover further with the benefit of robust U.S. demand. Furthermore, Europe equity valuations are modest, and as the ECB slowly cuts rates over time, easier monetary conditions can give an added boost to investor sentiment. We are positive on Asia equities. Key regional economies are benefiting from global demands associated with Industry 5.0, especially across new industrials, the technology sector, high-value added manufacturing, and consumerism. As a result, we maintain our view that the favorable performance across equity markets in South Korea, Taiwan, and India can continue. We have upgraded our outlook for China equities to positive as its earnings growth expectations seem to have bottomed along with the worst of its cyclical deflation pressures. We have emphasized for a while that despite China's longer-term involution, headwinds, it is a trading market that offers opportunities for nimble and selective investors. For example, even as weaker earnings growth has unfolded, China value stocks, consumer discretionary, and materials have outperformed the broad equity market. We believe that the latter, in particular, may continue to benefit from stronger manufacturing supply chain demands across Asia and DM, and high industrial metal prices. Fullerton remains positive on corporate credit and global sovereign bonds. With global growth remaining supportive, default rates across global high yield, HY corporate credit have been well contained, and investors taking additional risk have been rewarded with returns above investment grade, IG, corporate credit. That said, returns from global IG corporate credit have rebounded positively, in harmony with sovereign bonds. What has helped is that DM yields have fallen on lower inflation and stronger investor sentiment that the Fed will join the ECB, with policy rate cuts over time. Fullerton maintains its view that returns from Asia IG corporate credit should hold positive, while investors can continue to increase their diversification with global corporate credit. The latter may benefit, especially across the U.S., where company performance and balance sheets may remain relatively stronger. As yields stabilize again at levels consistent with slower growth and lower inflation, then favorable income streams can dominate total returns again. For hold-to-maturity bond investors, yields are attractive in the U.S. and across China, South Korea, India, and Indonesia. Sovereign bonds can also give some downside protection if growth unexpectedly slumps. In summary, over the next 12 months, Fullerton is bullish on risk assets overall and DM equity, while positive on Asia ex Japan equity, China A equity, Asia IG credit, and global sovereign bonds. Section 2, investment environment. Fullerton's investment environment regime indicator has moved back to recovery, which can still be very supportive for risk asset returns. The transition from the Goldilocks signal in our Q2 investment views reflected some slowdown in growth momentum across the U.S., Japan, and China, as well as some easing in risk appetite. For the rest of the year, provided global growth remains around trend, then the investment environment can be positive for risk asset returns. The probability of moving toward a late cycle signal has increased, but it remains modest because liquidity growth is supportive and global central banks are moving toward easier policy, which should continue to keep the investment environment within a recovery or a Goldilocks regime. We have emphasized ever since Q4 23 that the U.S. economy remains very well supported by easing liquidity conditions. This has been driven by positive money growth, robust domestic credit, and favorable financial markets. Most importantly, U.S. financial conditions have continued to ease even with high interest rates, a falling Fed balance sheet, and a strong U.S. dollar. It is these favorable liquidity conditions that are a key driver of Fullerton's regime model signal being in recovery, and not late cycle. Fullerton's threes lie at the heart of why we maintain our bullish outlook for global risk assets. Industry 5.0 is the latest development that can create new demand, further boost productivity, lower costs, and increase earnings. Industry 5.0 is the AI new technology metaverse-driven global theme that we believe will create better products and new spending with an additional boost to productivity and profitability across many sectors over time. Every generation has its own cutting-edge technology, and often we are too optimistic on shorter-term impacts and too conservative on longer-term benefits. Firms, consumers, and investors all need to remain patient for the rewards to flow across different countries and sectors, and to be optimally monetized. For example, even the most obvious and relatively simple productivity-enhancing technology, the tractor, still took decades to reach peak utilization and impact. Fast forward to today, and the best estimates for the impacts of AI and related technologies is from 2020, i.e., the start of Industry 5.0, until well beyond 2030. What new tech can potentially create? Higher revenues plus cost savings, which translates to greater earnings. The positive impacts to come from AI and new related technologies may ultimately prove to be no different from the impacts of the internet or from electrification in the 1890s. But what matters the most is the potential transformation on the core fundamentals of business operations. That is likely to impact across many sectors in terms of new demand created by enhanced e-commerce and the metaverse transition, higher revenues and cost savings, which equals greater earnings. For example, corporate revenue can rise over time because IT tech can drive a more rapid transmission of ideas, enhance e-commerce, and facilitate the production of higher value-added goods and services for consumers. Significant cost savings can be created as IT tech increases automation and efficiencies. In turn, higher productivity can reduce raw material demands, costs of production, and better align wages to workers' value creation. Our second I, innovation, will get a boost from Industry 5.0, but it is already a well-established trend since 2010 that has contributed to U.S. exceptionalism, and more recently to Japan's strong equity returns. Innovation is a trend that has been unfolding for years, especially across the US, Japan, and Germany, which reflects greater productivity, lower costs, and higher than otherwise earnings. At no time in the past, except perhaps the 1960s, has seen such a sustained lift in US corporate earnings. That alone explains why many describe the environment today as one of US exceptionalism. Japan has also performed well and rebounded strongly after the COVID-driven recession, while Germany is the productivity leader of Europe. But isn't the tech sector today just a big bubble rerun of the late 90s? Against this backdrop, many investors worry that a bubble may be unfolding because the hype surrounding the Magnificent Seven in the US just seems too excessive. However, strong performance of the US tech sector is not new, and it is quite different post-2010 than in the 1990s. Ever since 2010, the US IT sector earnings performance and returns have followed similar positive trends and have outperformed the broad market. Today, US IT sector earnings, relative to the market, remain a similar degree above trend as relative pricing. With IT sector returns in harmony with earnings growth fundamentals, it does not signal an obvious bubble at this juncture. The third I, adding China's involution to the mix, drives the great decoupling. The last of our thematic three I's is involution, which reflects China's longer-term headwinds as it searches for policy solutions to end weakness across the real estate sector, resolve economy-wide deflation pressures, and boost corporate performance. With a trend decline in potential GDP growth, policymakers' strategy has been to channel rising per capita incomes to try and boost the domestic economy with stronger consumption. But such rebalancing is proving a slow process. After 15 years, the consumption-to-GDP ratio has only increased by approximately 5% percentage points. To further strengthen the domestic economy, China's policymakers have also sought to improve R&D and public sector, SOE, output efficiencies. What this means is that while China equities may not transform into a robust, trending market until its long-term headwinds are resolved, it can still offer cyclical alpha. For example, as we have seen over the last few years, growth stocks have struggled but value stocks have outperformed. Section 3. Equities. U.S. exceptionalism. If earnings growth can remain robust as we expect, then that is more important for positive equity returns than rate cuts or the threat of higher unemployment. We maintain our bullish outlook on DM equities, led by the U.S. While some indicators suggest U.S. activity has slowed since Q1 24, we maintain our belief that the support to earnings from productivity and low unit labor costs will prove dominant for equity returns. U.S. consumption spending is likely to remain robust given how strong household balance sheets are from the rise in wealth. On the supply side of the economy, the rebound in investment spending by U.S. firms is helping to enhance productivity performance. Overall, Fed nowcasts for U.S. GDP growth are still tracking around 2 to 2.5% growth, which is consistent with the Bloomberg consensus forecasts for 2024. With very high U.S. corporate profits and some debt deleveraging since the COVID-driven recession, interest income has increased on cash balances to the extent that net interest payments by U.S. corporates are at record lows. This is one reason high interest rates have not proved too stressful for U.S. equity market performance. In addition, broad U.S. financial conditions have eased significantly, and stronger money growth has been an important driver. Favorable liquidity conditions, extended when Fed rate cuts unfold, are likely to motivate positive investor sentiment into next year. U.S. equity market performance is broadening. Robust equity market performance is broadening, and the strongest pushback against any significant U.S. slowdown risk is the strength and upward revisions in earnings growth expectations. For example, since end March, all U.S. sectors, except utilities, have seen earnings growth expectations increase further. From the Q1 reporting season, 75% of all U.S. firms are tracking to beat double-digit earnings growth expectations in 2024. In addition, with the majority of U.S. firms, i.e., 50% or more, across all sectors beating earnings growth expectations, it reinforces how broad-based, robust fundamentals are. Returns from Japan equities should also remain strong, while Europe can improve with robust global demand and as earnings grind higher. We remain bullish on Japan equities as earnings performance is supported by significant productivity, growth, and competitiveness gains. The latter is being enhanced by the correction in Japan's producer cost inflation versus its trading partners, and the weak yen, which will collectively boost earnings for exporters. Already, Japan's exports and productivity-enhancing corporate investment are at record highs when tracked as a percent of GDP. It is therefore not surprising that across all key global markets, Japan's expected earnings growth is the strongest, as it converges toward 20% per annum. Europe's earnings growth expectations seem to be bottoming, and as activity slowly improves, then profitability should grind higher over time. The EMU can benefit from stronger demand from the US, its largest non-EU export market, and Asia, especially for industrial capital goods and consumer products. On the latter, Europe may suffer some headwinds from weaker demand from China for luxury consumer goods. Germany remains the productivity engine within the EMU, and combined with the sharp fall in producer cost inflation, its profitability rise may outperform its neighbors. We are positive on Asia equities. Since our Q2 investment views, Asia has seen a significant increase in its earnings growth expectations, which have now surpassed Europe. Taiwan and South Korea, as high-value-added manufacturers, are benefiting from stronger global demands for new industrial outputs, IT, and consumer products. Fullerton maintains its positive outlook on India equities, as we believe that favorable fundamentals are likely to remain on trend with the election passed. We are also positive on Singapore equities, as earnings growth expectations are recovering. Singapore is also likely to benefit from stronger DM demand, in particular for higher-end capital goods. We have revised China equities to a positive outlook as its earnings growth expectations may finally be bottoming, as deflationary pressures in corporate selling prices ease. However, China's involution suggests that it will take time, beyond our 12-month forecast horizon, for overinvestment to be resolved, for the real estate market to recover, and for further rebalancing toward consumption. That suggests that while China equities may not transform into a favorable, trending market, it will still offer cyclical alpha. In such an environment, growth stocks may struggle, but value stocks can prosper. As we have highlighted before, there are positive investment opportunities across value stocks, materials, and consumer discretionary. The latter benefits from robust online retail that is gaining market share, as it is more price competitive for consumers over physical stores. We continue to favor IT, consumerism, new industrials, and ESG-linked stocks. The global equity sectors we like have not changed materially from what we discussed in detail in our Q1 investment views. We generally prefer growth over value, and sectors linked to consumerism, IT, new industrials, and ESG leaders. These sectors are favored as they are experiencing rising market share coupled with productivity gains containing costs. With very strong returns year to date in equities, investors will need to navigate rotations. Across DM, especially the US and Japan, as the rally broadens and as yield curves are likely to steepen over time, stronger returns may unfold for sectors that are interest rate sensitive, i.e., financials and real estate. For example, in the US, both these sectors have seen significant upgrades in earnings growth expectations since the start of the year. Because US equity returns are running at 20% year to date, there will be some rebalancing and rotation as earnings growth expectations tighten and converge across sectors, i.e., performance laggards move up, like value stocks and small caps, and leaders move down a bit, like large caps and growth stocks. That said, relative performance orderings may not change dramatically. US tech will likely maintain the strongest earnings growth expectations, while the energy sector holds the lowest ranking. Section 4, fixed income. Led by DM and especially the US, global fixed income markets have shifted from upside inflation concerns to downside growth fears. Our baseline view has always been that the rate cuts signaled by the Fed were appropriate as they aligned with our belief in solid US growth performance and disinflation continuing. We also highlighted that the most likely alternative scenario was no Fed rate cuts in 2024, if growth surprised on the upside and/or inflation proved sticky. In our Q2 investment views, we noted that global bond returns had struggled, especially across DM in the US, as yields increased, suggesting that the market was less worried about growth and more concerned about sticky inflation. This was unfolding as commodity prices were rising and as US Q1 inflation was higher than the consensus expected. These events raised fears that inflation may be reaccelerating and/or the Fed may change its mind on the rate cuts it had signaled for 2024 on 20 March. Now into Q3, fixed income markets have flip-flopped to be much more concerned about the prospect of weak growth. From a top-down perspective, such shifts in expectations can be supportive for fixed income returns and especially for bond investors. Falling bond yields can provide significant gains to active traders, especially if growth falls sharply. We are positive on global sovereign bonds. Yields for Singapore government securities, SGS, are likely to continue tracking US treasuries, but with some boost to performance given Singapore's supply conditions. For the rest of Asia, as we have noted for a while, real bond yields are favorable across India, Indonesia, China, Malaysia, and Thailand. Investors will be keen to see if China's policymakers can create a defendable floor, and thereafter with tangible upside, for the 10-year yield to rise, as the PBOC has announced intentions to sell government bonds. Given the variability we have seen in yields since Q4 23, especially across DM, the potential downside protection offered to investors from bonds if growth unexpectedly slumps is increasingly important. Once bond prices regain some stability, then investment income streams should be favorable, while during this adjustment process, there may be a greater likelihood of capital gains. We remain positive but selective on corporate credit. With global growth likely to achieve a soft landing, potential default rates across corporate credit should remain contained and investors well compensated. That said, we are cautious on U.S. corporate credit valuations as spreads may have limited scope to tighten significantly further. We are constructive on Singapore corporate credits as the quality remains good and supply is tight. However, in tandem with the U.S. trend, the favorable environment has pushed up valuations. We are positive on Asia investment-grade corporate credit, as performance is stable and the market has strong technicals. Placing aside valuations, DM corporate credit has favorable supports from strong profitability and balance sheets. We remain tactically bullish on Asia high yield, HY, corporate credit, but spread tightening will likely slow as carry becomes the dominant driver. Active investors have harvested significant alpha, especially across sectors less impacted by the drag from China's weak real estate sector. As we expected, strong liquidity and rising growth in corporate earnings is allowing companies to smoothly refinance. Returns over H1 24 have been robust across India, Korea, Hong Kong, China, and Singapore, while Sri Lanka's exceptional return surge may have limited upside left. The U.S. forward market may be too aggressive in its Fed rate cut expectations because it is too pessimistic on U.S. growth prospects, in contrast to views from the Fed and the economic consensus. Over the last couple of months, the ECB led the Fed with the first rate cut, and some key U.S. activity indicators were weaker than expected. For example, PMI surveys of manufacturing and service sector activity, being below 50, and the unemployment rate, surprising on the upside. These factors have resulted in DM bond yields falling again, and for the U.S. forward market to expect a lower policy rate path than the Fed signaled on 12 June. For example, the U.S. forward market expects the Fed funds rate to reach 4.3% by March 2025, which is a more aggressive easing profile than the Fed presented in June, with a policy rate of 4.1% only by December 2025. Reasons why we think the rates market may be too pessimistic on U.S. growth prospects. There are several reasons suggesting that the fixed income market may be extrapolating recent weak data too far, and more importantly, placing too much weight on potential downside risks to growth. First, even though nowcasts of U.S. growth have been variable and have slipped, they still signal macro conditions around what the Fed assumed with its June rate cut profile, i.e., U.S. GDP growth of around 2 to 2.5% per annum, and PCE inflation at 2.5% per annum. Second, the Bloomberg consensus still expects U.S. growth to end the year at 2.3%, which is marginally stronger than the Fed's forecast, and 1.8% next year. Third, it would be unusual for U.S. economic activity indicators to become very weak, and yet earnings growth expectations continue to revise up from Q1, as we observe in the latest data. Fourth, driven by positive wealth effects from spending, liquidity, domestic credit, and money growth, financial markets do not seem to be giving enough weight to the growth supportive role stemming from easy, broad financial conditions. For example, the U.S. Financial Conditions Index, which captures money growth, credit growth, interest rates, and financial market conditions, is as loose as late 2021 before the Fed's policy rate hikes began. Lastly, the U.S. 10-year nominal yield can fall and growth can remain quite reasonable because a key factor that should pull yields down, to some degree over time, is well-anchored inflation expectations. This is a key part of the Fed's monetary transmission mechanism that has not changed despite the painful cyclical surge in inflation. Investors should not panic yet that U.S. yield slippage means growth is likely to collapse. The driving force may simply be fixed income markets realigning better with inflation expectations. The U.S. dollar can hold its value. Driven by positive U.S. fundamentals such as the bond yield differential, the terms of trade, and productivity, the U.S. dollar has made steady gains this year as we expected. The U.S. real exchange rate is overvalued, 7%, but the USD may have re-rated higher since the U.S. became a net oil exporter from 2020. What is most concerning across currency markets is that the Japanese yen remains hugely undervalued. When the yen eventually rebounds, perhaps with expectations of higher yields in Japan, then it could prove painful for any investors that have taken excessive and perhaps one-sided risk. Disclaimer: no offer or invitation is considered to be made if such offer is not authorized or permitted. This is not the basis for any contract to deal in any security or instrument, or for Fullerton Fund Management Company LTD, UEN, 2003-12672W, Fullerton, or its affiliates to enter into or arrange any type of transaction. Any investments made are not obligations of, deposits in, or guaranteed by Fullerton. The information contained herein has been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but has not been independently verified, although Fullerton Fund Management Company Limited, UEN 2003-1672W, Fullerton, believes it to be fair and not misleading. Such information is solely indicative and may be subject to modification from time to time. The contents herein may be amended without notice. Fullerton, its affiliates, and their directors and employees do not accept any liability from the use of this publication.